on KCFR 90.1 FM. I'm Gamera Mash for the Chico Vibe. And you are indeed listening to FM 90.1 KCFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Always keep in mind, opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KCFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
It's time for the KZFR Music Calendar, your link to some of what our community has to offer for live music. If you would like to have an event on the music calendar, send us an email with event details to mc@kzfr.org. For Friday, July 7th at 6 p.m., we have the Posies at Almendra Winery. At 7 o'clock, we have Open Mic at the Down Low, Friday Night Concert Series in downtown Chico. At 8 p.m., we have Sunny Acres at the Maltese. 9:30, it's Basement at Peking Chinese Restaurant. For Saturday, July 8th, at 5 p.m., we have Tempo Reggae Night at Sifo's Jamaican Restaurant. At 8 o'clock, it's Jenny Don't and the Spurs at the Maltese. And at 9 o'clock, we have Naughty Professor at Lost on Main. For Sunday, July 9th, we have the Posies at Farm Star Pizza. That concludes the KZFR Music Calendar. The music calendar can be heard every Thursday and Friday afternoon. Have a great weekend and keep on listening to your community radio station, 90.1 FM KZFR.
All right, welcome to the Chico Vibe. It's really a real pleasure. It's always a pleasure to see Ken Smith.
Hi, man.
In front of a microphone. And we're going to do a little forward promo for Mitchell and Embers tomorrow night with Ken. But before that, Ken, we always start the show with, you know, someone talks about or several people talk about what the Chico Vibe means to them. So when you hear the word, the phrase, I should say, the Chico Vibe, what comes to mind?
Chico Vibe. Well, let's see. I think we're positioned along some important ley lines and some kind of a cosmic parallels that create a vortex of sorts that contributes to the the resonant vibrations of this place in a way that makes it a pretty fantastical, man. But I think it's just it's a great little town. I'm happy to have landed here.
Yeah, me too, Ken Smith. The Chico Vibe, love it. So let's talk a little bit about Mitchell and Embers, man. You're playing tomorrow night, Maltese, man. What's up? July 8th,
yeah,
man. Maltese. What's up
with that? It's going to be a warm one out there. Just getting out and playing a bit with Mitchell and Embers. We're playing, actually, pretty excited to be playing with Jenny Don't and the Spurs. They're from the great Pacific Northwest, and they're kind of similar to us. They've got a kind of Western thing going on, and pretty rock and roll as well, and we played with them, sometime last year, and of all the bands that we've shared stages with, I think they're kind of one of our best fits as far as aesthetically as where we're at musically.
Mm-hmm. The vortex lines up.
Yeah. Our vortexes are definitely in alignment.
I'm a big fan of live music in general, but I'm a huge fan of Mitchell and Embers. I mean, you got Johnny Meehan, Cammy, current Cammy winner, best male vocalist, man.
He
earned every bit of that. Scotty on the slide, and you on the uke. And why am I forgetting the Steve Bragg, man, on the gut bucket, right?
Gut bucket, yes, indeed.
Yeah, we've had him on the show with the gut bucket with Mad Bomb Howard.
Oh, yeah? Right on.
It was fun.
Awesome.
It was fun. We did Studio 416 with them. So we're, once again, Maltese on the 8th. I think doors are at 8 o'clock. That's usually what it is. I mean, you'll be safe. You get there at 8. But come on down and say hi to Ken. Say hi to Guillermo. But why don't you take us on out here, man? We're gonna be playing Digging On, man. What's up with this song?
Well, I think kind of as a band, and I think with Johnny's songwriting, kind of sometimes fall into some motifs that reoccur through some of the songs or batches of songs as they come. And for example, we had a series of songs that kind of magically all incorporated the moon in various forms. So Johnny was on a kick having to do with holes. So our last album was actually called Looking for a Hole, and that's the name of one of the songs on the album, and there's another song called Digging On. It's about finding a hole and, you know, some place to stay cool or warm or safe.
Well, the moon, bones of my when I crowd their rhythm flows. Swell on the blue, bones of my blood. These blues will kill you dead. Well, keep digging on, digging on, digging on, digging my heart and soul. Keep digging on, digging on, digging on, digging my Sunday morning, way boy, I look, I see that warning. Ain't nothing right, everything's wrong. Baby, keep digging on. Well, keep digging on, digging on, digging on, digging on my heart and soul. Keep digging on, digging on, digging on, digging on my heart and soul. Keep digging on.
All right, my real pleasure. You do actually have Ken Smith. Thanks, Ken Smith. Hopefully folks can make it down to the Maltese. And speaking about getting down to places, Hasbeens, it's the last open mic and the last day of business down on Main and 4th Street. And it's my real Fifth. Thank you. We have the expert in the house to give us all the details. We have Andan Casamajor, who's been running the open mic. The open mic has been there. It has been since 2000 to 2017, and I think someone else started it, right?
That was Susan Dopra.
Yeah, Susan Dopra. But so it's been going on. I had a couple of questions. So how long? I think I already answered my own question.
February 2017 to July, or February 2000 to July 2017.
Yeah. Now, I know unless I ask this question, people are going to be like, why are you closing? I mean, what's some of the details behind that?
Well, the venue is that choice location right under the Jeweled Tower in the north end of the Senator Theater Building. And the owner of Hasbeens, Willem Vonk, to whom I want to express our sincere appreciation for being so supportive over the years and letting us have this free show week after week, year after year, they lost their lease, and we don't know what's going to happen to that unique location. But it's a day like today, you see some of the problems. It's beastly hot in there with the afternoon sun on it, and that's so they've lost the lease, and Willem very graciously has allowed us to have an extra show on the Friday night after what would be our last Thursday. So that's going start in about an hour.
Yeah, that's going to be wonderful. Thursday night, Mike spreading into Fridays. So what's next, Dan, for your open mic?
Well, we have one. I've had one almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in August, and that's on Tuesdays from 6 to 8 at Gogi's Indian Cafe. That's on Salem Street between 2nd and 3rd. That's been going pretty well. It's been not as well attended as the one on Thursday night. There's something magical about Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
But that continues, so we are there on Tuesdays. Susan Dobra, of course, started one at the what's now Norton Buffalo Hall in Paradise, the old Grange Hall, and that's Wednesdays from 7 to 10. They just celebrated 5 years. We are actively looking for a new venue. We've had some prospects. We've spoken to some people, made some outreach. We've also got a number of our performers and audience members are asking around town. So we'd like to stay downtown. We'd like to stay weekly. We'd like to have Thursday. We'd like to have all ages. We'd like to have all genres rather than just music only. So it's kind of a long list of we would likes, but we're sort of a congregation in search of a new church now, as it were. We're a very loyal following. We've had 100 people go through there on a Thursday night. Last night we had 25 performers, and that's not out of the ordinary at all.
No, it sure isn't. And it's just amazing how time flies, because it doesn't seem it could possibly be 2 years you've been at Gogi's.
Yes.
And it's been 2 years, but it's wonderful. I just, you know, I've said this offline, and Dan, but I just want to thank you so much, because you do so much for the music scene. And, I mean, I've talked to, like, Brady Shaw, even. We're going to end the show with Brian Anthony, the Phoenix, But he just says some wonderful words around how important it has a space like that when you're trying to, you know, get a voice or get your tune and play in public.
Yeah, we're kind of going through that right now. You know, me personally, I've felt kind of depressed today because this has been an anchor in my life for so mm-hmm. long now. And to feel like a venerated elder and someone people look up to who can be kind of give guidance and leadership and help young people when they come in and they're terrified the first time to make them feel welcome, to get them up there, get their confidence, and then watch them develop as artists. And we've made just hundreds and hundreds of friends doing this, and I just it makes me nervous to think that it's not going to rise up again somewhere else and mm-hmm. continue.
Well, that's a good way to end then, the rise up, because the Phoenix, with the Phoenix giving you that.
Yeah, Brian is an immensely talented fellow, both spoken word and music.
He is absolutely wonderful. Maybe this will lift your heart. Yeah. And Dan, I'm going to ask you if you want to be involved in this. And it's really cool how this lines up, because Thursday's open mics. But in 2 weeks, I'm redoing a show I did a couple of years ago, and Dan, this time we're going to have a stage at Duffy's. But it's called Chico Ladies Night. And it's on the community radio here on Face to Music, which is the longest running community radio, all female music show in the United States of America.
Wow. Yeah,
isn't that Terry's. A cool thing? It's Terry, and you went to high school with Terry Reynolds.
Indeed, yeah.
We would love to have you open that show.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'd love to be part.
That's it. That's a yes.
Yes.
All right, Andan. Andan's going to be one of the special guests on, that's the 20th. I'll do a little plug for that. That's going to be July 20th, 7:30 to 10 is when that Face the Music's on. But we figure we'll go over a little because we're going to have the comics from here go down to.
Okay.
But we have comic hosts here at KZFR, Becky Lynn, Annie Fisher. And over at Duffy's, we have Shahara Hyatt, Rachel Wiles. And they'll be working the mics as we set people up. So I'm real happy to know you're going to be there, Andan.
Well, thank you.
You'll have an open mic on Thursday.
There you go.
So you brought in some music for us to give us a taste of the open mic. What are we going to hear?
Well, a few years back, we talked about having an open mic show, a regular show. Maybe it's time to turn to that now because I've recorded almost everything. I'm kind of a compulsive recordist, and I've accumulated these archives. We probably have about 2,000 hours of live local recordings, and some of them are exquisite. The quality generally is quite good, and some of the performances are just as I've said about this, when it's on a mediocre night, open mic is entertaining. It's good fun. When it's a great night, it's stupendous fun. And so we've got some real jewels in there. And this was a couple of CDs I put together when we kind of ran a prototype of that show a few years back and came in and did a show with Susan and some others as guests on one of the KZFR regular shows. And so this first track on the first side is our friend Jimmy Brobeck, who's a very familiar to KZFR listeners. And his wife, Diana Suzuki, still has a radio show every other week, I think Wednesday afternoons, don't quote me.
I think you're right. Yeah. Don't quote me either. No quotes tonight.
But Jimmy, years ago, wrote a song in his inimitable style with this the hollow neck guitar he plays on his lap, and it's called Open Mic, so why don't we play that?
So which one?
That would be track one on disc one.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
Yeah.
It up twice. Amy serving tea from the back of the bar. Give a dollar tip because you're working real hard. Tuning my guitar, scribble out a verse. I'm a little bit nervous. It's almost my turn. hope I remember how to play my song. I know they're gonna laugh if I play it wrong. Dance on the board and the sound is right, even as our host, so we give it up twice. Amy serving drinks from the back of the bar. Give to Tyler tip, cause you're working real hard. Harmony too. Sing only one song when there are many in the queue. Bring a friend down stage, sometime get to play too. Well, Rambo, Susan, Flip, and Cars, sitting up a list. I don't wanna be the last, I don't wanna be the first. It's so fun to hear the music down at Fifth and Main. Ponder the poet's has-been's cafe. Dan's on the board and the sound is right, even as our host, so we give it up twice. Amy serving tea from the back of the bar. Give a $20 tip, cause you're working real hard.
All right, Jimmy Brobeck, man. Give it up. Jimmy Brobeck's awesome, man.
Just a Chico treasure in so many ways. His advocacy is such a, as I say, an exemplary citizen and a fine musician.
He sure
is. That was
is.
From 2011, believe it or not. That was 6 years ago.
That's amazing. I wasn't even in Chico, Dan. And what can we expect tonight? What are we going to? What kind of party atmosphere are we going to have?
I know Susan will be there with her partner John Michael's son, who's
nice.
Very familiar to the local music scene as well. Mm-hmm. They run that Wednesday night show in Paradise, so I know we're going to have them. I assume most of our regulars. I know some folks were there last night, won't be able to be there tonight, and others probably weren't there last night and will show up tonight. And it's the last go round.
Yeah,
it's a strange feeling after so much time and being such a fixture. We really want to find a new home for it. We have as many as 100 people through there, 20 to 30 people on the list. So it's an attractive thing for somebody who wants a full house on Thursday night.
There you go. And that is full of good people having good times. We're going to play another song, and we're going to lead on out into our news lead with Dave Waddell from Chico Soul.
All right. This one is from 2010, and this was Lisa Langley. Then she was Lisa Valentine, and now she's going as Lisa Langley again, and she and Dave Elke have a group called Sunday Iris. They have a new CD out, and this is a tune of hers. Actually, she won one of the Celebration of the Song events and that KZFR put on for 5 years, and this was one of her big hits from her early days about Dorothy Parker, the poet.
Big hits from the early days, but got some big hits playing tonight. You know, live open mic. Yeah. It's going to be, you know, just after the show over at Fifth and Main.
Under the Jewel Tower. I've got to head across and start setting things up.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Em and Dan.
Well, thank you for having me on.
It's always a pleasure.
All her hours were yellow sands, lonely and foolish worlds and tassels, slipping warmly through her hands, padded into little castles. Shiny day on, shiny day, tumbled in a rainbow's clutter, as she flipped them all away, sent them spinning down the gutter. Oh, Mrs. Parker, stand. Dark lady there in the corner with a pen in your hand. You are the fools and they're fools. the bottle half full. But tell me, were they still callous ladies if we both fell off our stools? Oh, Mrs. Parker. Oh, Mrs. Parker, yeah. Oh, Mrs. Parker. Oh, Mrs. Parker, yeah. Oh, Mrs. Parker, you can't. The truth, darling lady, like a good sock in the eye. Now you ride a fool's and their foolish hearts. You ride a love, and we both know that's where the misery starts. Oh, Mrs. Parker. Oh, Mrs. Parker, yeah. Mrs. Parker, yeah. Leave for her a red young rose. Go your way and save your pity. She is happy, for she knows that her dust is very pretty.
KZFR, the Chico Vibe, made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Payroll Plus, payroll and human resource experts for any size business. Owner Dolly Wendell and her staff can solve your payroll, workers' comp, group health insurance, employee benefits, and human resource management needs. In these changing times of employee compliance and tax law, professional assistance is a must. To reach Dolly at Payroll Plus, call 566-0452 and set your mind at ease. Guillermo Mash for the July 7th, the Chico Vibe. And what I have right here right now is the first few paragraphs is a lead-in for a Chico Soul story, chicosol.org, which is border crossing journalism from the Sacramento Valley, and it's administered here by several folks. Dave Waddell, who you're going to hear from in just a second, is the news director, longtime journalism professor at Chico State University, as well as Leslie Layton, who started the project, I think, almost a decade ago as a non-online news mag, and she is the news editor for the paper. But here's the first few paragraphs, and then we're going to jump into some follow-up with Dave here in the studio. If Chico police officer Steve Dyke's intent last summer was to get Madeline Hempel to quit filming police with her cell phone, that mission definitely was accomplished. One reason is practical. Hempel no longer has her cell phone. Police claim it was lost when they arrested her in the early hours of August 27th, 2016, and accused her of resisting arrest. No charges, however, were ever brought against Hempel by Butte County District Attorney Mike Ramsey. In a Chico Soul exclusive, Ramsey said Friday that his 10-month investigation into what became of the phone determined the police never had it. Most likely, Ramsey said, the phone was carried around town by a transient. The DA promised more details this week, which is this week. I find it interesting that I'm completely out of the loop with all of this, Hempel said when informed by Chico Soul of Ramsey's ruling. The DA wants absolutely nothing to do with me. I don't believe that a transient took my phone, nor do I believe that the DA's investigation was unbiased. We all know whose team they're playing for. Besides not having a phone, a second reason Hempel isn't filming cops on the street is psychological. Her treatment by the Chico Police Department has left her afraid of law enforcement officers, she said. Hempel was once confident about her right to videotape officers in public, believing that doing so served as a societal check on abuse of police power. Today, Hempel says she's afraid to even look a police officer in the eye, let alone film one. Hempel's fear stems from being tackled by police after Dyke ordered her taken to jail while she was filming him arresting her roommate, Nicole Bram, also a Chico State student. The case gained notoriety after a video shot by a third roommate went viral. Misdemeanor resisting arrest charges against Bram are now pending in Butte County Superior Court. Welcome to KZFR 90.1 FM, Dave Waddell.
Hey, it's good to be here, Bill. Thank you for having me. You know, this is an interesting case that I've been following since last August, and I see this case really as two things could have happened to the phone. Maybe there's more, but I only see two things. One, it got lost. Or two, police destroyed evidence. That's a pretty troubling thought to me. And it's even more troubling thought, if that happened, that the officialdom of Chico Police Department and the Butte County law enforcement don't seem to care that much. Also, to give you a little bit of background on what happened that night with Madeline Hempel, according to her. Now, she'd been drinking. She was 21 years old. She'd been out at the bars, and she was being driven home by a sober roommate when she saw officers conducting a DUI check. She got out of the vehicle to film that when she encountered Officer Dyke, who she described as very aggressive, and he backed her off of the frontage road onto the sidewalk, and she immediately complied. But he was angry, and she decided not to get back in the car for that reason. She was two blocks from home. She walked. Her roommate drove. And by the time her roommate got to their residence two blocks away on the Esplanade, Officer Dyke had pulled in behind her because she had a burned-out light on her license plate. According to what Braham said later to the ACLU board here in Chico, Dyke ragdolled her to his vehicle in terms of the manner in which he was holding her. He bent back her fingernail to the point where it was quite painful, and she was trying to relieve the pain and twisting. That's her story. But as this was happening, Madeline Hempel, who'd been walking to her home from the two blocks away, happened on the scene and started filming. And with Officer Dyke had Braham down with his knee on her back, he pointed at Madeline and twice said, "Take her to jail, take her to jail." And she said she was then tackled by police as one officer snatched the phone out of her hand, and presumably the video continued to roll. But she said, as she was handcuffed there at the scene, that she saw officers, what she believes, she saw officers looking through her phone at her video, laughing. She was asked at the scene by an officer if they could access her video as evidence. She was asked later at the Chico Police Department holding facility if they could, the same question. And both times she said they could. And when the phone wasn't in her personal belongings when she got out of jail, she went to the Chico Police Department and was told that the phone was in evidence, and she could get it at her first court date at the soonest. Her father called and was told the phone was in evidence. So 2 days after the incident, the police department said the phone was lost during the arrest. And that's pretty much what the district attorney has now ruled, that apparently he believes, and I don't have any more details really yet, but he believes that a transient may have carried it around town.
Just joining Guillermo Mash here for the Chico Vibe, interviewing Dave Waddell, news director and author of the latest Chico Soul, CHICOSOL.org article titled "Student Now Fears Cops Has No Phone."
I want to read one quote, if I could, from Madeline, beyond what you read.
Yeah, sure.
I thought it was a pretty powerful quote about her state of mind these days. "If I'm driving and I see a cop on the road, I have a terrible fear of being pulled over by the wrong man and being arrested again. I really can't let it go, and it overwhelms me. I also feel as though I have no support, and if I were to find myself in a crisis because I will never call Chico Police again, the lack of remorse and effort at making amends on the part of Chico PD has hurt and troubled me to my core." One community member, Emily Alma, wonders whether Madeline Hempel has post-traumatic stress disorder. When I asked Madeline that question, she said she doesn't like to self-diagnose, but, you know, it's possible. And one of the things that's in my story was about another incident that I read about in the Chico News and Review 6 years ago involving the same officer, Steve Dyke, who pulled over a Chico therapist on his way to lunch, high noonish, and apparently was told by dispatch he was driving a stolen vehicle and basically lined up a kill shot at his head 7 feet away, had his gun pointed at his head, and then got a call and said, "Oh, it was a mistake." The officer did, and this therapist, Tom Steele, said he was terrified, traumatized, and sent into a state of shock. The officer did not apologize. He just said there was a lot of, there'd been a lot of car thefts lately. But, and this is a quote from an article by former News and Review editor Bob Speer. Steele, feeling shattered, drove home and canceled his afternoon appointments. He was later diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, put on meds, and spent 4 months in therapy. And then Steele filed a complaint with then-Police Chief Mike Maloney, who apologized for the unfortunate experience, but exonerated Dyke for having followed department policy. I guess it's department policy to line up a kill shot on a AARP member right here in Chico. It's interesting, I think, about Officer Dyke, because he's a co-owner of the Downrange Indoor Training Center. It's at the north end of town. They advertise during holidays, particularly Christmas, they hawk assault weapons with, you know, clever Santa things and Easter Bunny things. I asked the assistant city manager, Chris Constantine, how much the city paid out to Downrange in the past year. It was July 3rd, and he wasn't in the office that day, but he gave me some information that he had available to him, which was that through the first two-thirds of the fiscal year, the current fiscal year, or the one just ended, they'd paid out $13,000 in those 8 months to Downrange. A quote from Constantine, all the purchases were driven by individual officers who were using their annual $900 uniform allowance. The city does not control where they can purchase eligible items. So my follow-up question later to him was, could I get the language on what's an allowable, eligible purchase for the uniform allowance? And, you know, he immediately sent me into a public records request mode. It just seems like a uniform allowance would be used for a uniform allowance, but we'll see what the response is to the questions I've asked about that arrangement.
Well, thanks for all that detail, Dave, Dave Waddell. Once again, Pete Post is joining, listening to Dave Waddell, news director and the author of the latest piece on Chico Sol, chicosol.org, on a lady's cell phone that was lost, who was arrested and then subsequently not charged. You know, a couple of things about that article really was upsetting to me, but the whole idea that it took 10 months and Ramsey came up with this flimsy, my term, flimsy, I think maybe a transient had the phone based upon where the phone was at, right? We'll give you more details later, but I'm going to paint this. If he had more details, he would have given them. There's just no question in my mind if someone had been found with the phone. And I'll give an alternative, to this, Dave. Who else could actually have a transit path for a phone that might look like he's been all around town? A cop with a phone in his pocket, okay? My guess now is that the cop had the phone in his pocket and he was driving around town. And I'm doing this on purpose because that's what the DA's doing. He's throwing out these alternative ideas of what happened to the phone without any facts. And he's the district attorney, okay? He should know better, and it's upsetting to me as a citizen. I mean, this is a fact-based world we live in for journalism for sure, and it most certainly should be for the DA. So I find it extremely offensive that the DA is coming out with public comments about what may have happened to the phone with no evidence whatsoever. So I'll present the evidence. Maybe a cop had it in his pocket, Dave, and was driving around town with it.
Well, maybe we'll find out more. Well, you know, he's promised more information, and I'll be talking to him very soon. But, you know, another aspect, I mean, he spent 10 months gathering some information about where the phone traveled, apparently, and nothing else has been investigated about this case, okay? I mean, this is a case of retaliation, or it's an allegation of retaliation. It would be easy if you looked at the computer-assisted dispatch records to find out where Steve Dyke was at particular times that night and whether it took him 30 minutes to find that car that he pulled over, in quotes, or it took him 5 minutes. That would be available in those records. However, because this is under investigation, and it might continue to be under investigation by the police department for I don't know how much longer, because, you know, these things tend to drag on. I mean, they've just narrowed down to one little sliver of the issue in my mind, or not one sliver, but just one part of this question in what they've investigated so far.
Any closing comments, Dave, on this piece?
Well, I think one of the things that, I think the community is looking at right now is more community review, citizen review of the police department. And one of the quotes in my article from a Chico State associate professor, Michael Coyle, you know, kind of touched a nerve with me. And it was this, talking about Hemphill's situation. When you get arbitrarily tossed around and abused by a legal and policing system, you receive a dose of reality regarding how very little power you have and how very well rehearsed they, police, are to work in the confines of what we call a democracy. And I have to say, this case and the Desmond Phillips case, from a law enforcement standpoint, about how it all went down and has been investigated, feels awfully well rehearsed, as if everybody knows what they're supposed to do to reach a particular conclusion. So I was struck by that quote, as well as what he said at the end of my article, the quote I used from Michael Coyle, the Chico State professor, at the end of my article, that it's not the best situation to have sister law enforcement agencies in the same county investigating each other. Quote, the whole process of review and monitoring of our legal and police systems in Chico is shocking, Coyle said. We don't even have a citizen review board of police. How long do you think such a board would tolerate this kind of behavior? It's really a disgrace.
All right, Dave Waddell, thanks for all that you do.
Thank you.
All right, so it's a pleasure to have Dave on. He's going to be on next week, too, with an article following up on the Desmond Phillips tragic shooting at the hands of the Chico police back in March. And we're here with Mark Alexander. And Mark, welcome to KZFR.
Hi.
Mark Alexander is a radio correspondent for Youth for Justice.
Yep.
He is a public speaker. And he is now staff writer, Chico Vibe, man.
Yeah.
Welcome to KZFR.
Exciting.
It is exciting. You're exciting, Mark.
Uh-huh. I like to think so.
Yeah. All right. Give us a little bit of your experience writing this segment for the Chico Vibe called The Fear of Suffering.
Well, it was definitely kind of a scary experience, because I remember when you told me what I should be writing about, you were like, I don't want anything to do with, you know, the direction. You decide what you want to write. And I'd never written for a paper before, so I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure how journalistic it needed to look or feel, like if I needed to report on a specific subject. But I didn't really know what it really needed. So I just decided to talk about some things that I'd recently experienced. You know, you would just walk down the street, and sometimes you experience these sorts of things. And I talked about two specific instances where people were expressing their frustration about homeless people in a kind of a very generalizing, and I guess they were people who were afraid of homeless people, who were expressing their distaste for them in general and wanting to move them away as a way to get them out of people's faces and just kind of ignore the problem. And I talked about it.
You talked about it very eloquently. It actually starts off: a week before writing this, I was walking down the streets of College Town when I passed by a tall, athletic-looking student wearing glasses. ..
Yep.
How'd it feel to get paid?
That was
staff writer.
I wasn't so interested in the money as I was just the fact that I could claim that I got paid for my writing.
Boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Professional.
You can bet. Like, I need to just go on Facebook and be like, "Hey guys, I'm a professional writer now. Just so you know, I got paid for my writing."
Bam. And it was a good piece.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Future things, we might give you a little more direction, but I really wanted to see what you'd come up with on your own, and you nailed it. How'd you feel? We have Asia Shiraga from the ER. We're going to do a little segment here with Jess Kandeller from the Youth Advisory Council right after this, but how did you feel the first time you got paid?
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's one of those things. I mean, I don't know if you always wanted to be a writer, but when I found out that's what I wanted to do, and then I realized I could actually get paid for it, oh my gosh, it was the coolest thing ever.
Isn't
my first paid article was at the Chico News and Review, actually. I was an intern there, and I got that first check, and I think I put it on my wall for a while, just like the stub that said that I had gotten paid, because I was so excited. I mean, I was doing what I wanted to do, and I was talking about my community, and I also got to get paid for it.
Nice. You can find the Chico Vibe, this latest edition. We're still doing some labeling. It'll be down in the local coffee shops downtown and different distribution areas. But I wanted to kind of do a shout-out. We're doing a really cool thing here, man. We mentioned it at the top of the hour with Andan, but on July 20th, we're doing a Chico Ladies Night. And what that is Face to Music. It's the longest-running female artist community radio show in the country. I'm subbing that show, and we're going to have two comics here in the studio with female performers here. And then after that, the cool thing is they're going to go over to Duffy's, and they're going to play at that stage there. And it's a fundraiser for staff writers for the Chico Vibe and the Homeward Street Journal. How about that? And Mark, you'll be able to meet Mark Alexander, because he's going to be working the volunteer booth.
How exciting.
Isn't it exciting? There may be a speaking opportunity, too. There'll be a mic there.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind speaking. I like talking on stage. As you can see in my title on the newspaper, it includes public speaker.
That it does, Mark Alexander. Any closing comments before we swing over to these two fine young ladies on the articles they did for Youth Advisory Council?
I would, I don't know if we have time, but I was kind of curious if you could give me, like, direction on, like, how you do go about writing for a newspaper. Like, how do you report on a story?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, I wanted to say I didn't see it. I read the article very quickly just now because I didn't know it was out yet. But I loved how you wrote. I mean, for me, it was very interesting. It was almost like we were talking together, and that's, like, one of the things that when you're a journalist, having that conversational kind of tone really helps people, one, realize you're a person too, and two, you know, get on your level and your point of view and your observations. So I would love to talk to you more about reporting and all that. I don't know if we have time, but
that's how I write. Yeah. I write as though I were talking to people.
There is a space for that type of writing,
sure,
for that point of view kind of style. And yep. Then there's also a space for, you know, I had to go to a council meeting. Here's what the council decided. And then I give you more details, you know.
The one problem is when they start getting stingy about grammar and all that. But I'm deliberately avoiding being grammatically correct so I can communicate this idea in just a friendly neighbor kind of way, you know.
AKA like Mark Twain, right?
Yeah, I want to talk to the people, and that doesn't always require strict, you know.
No.
You're thinking more creative, yeah. Almost like a free form kind of poetic, but not necessarily poetry.
Poetic it is. Thanks for coming on, Mark. I'm going to do some underwriters, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit about this ER article here on the Chico Vibe. The Chico Vibe, made possible by contributions of our generous supporters and by Downtown Chico Business Association. Announcing the first Downtown Chico Restaurant Week, Friday, July 7th through Sunday, July 16th. Downtown Chico Restaurant Week features over 24 restaurants offering special menus and includes social media contests, the Butte Humane Society's pup crawl, and more. End the week with the downtown shopping tradition, Slice of Chico, on Friday and Saturday, July 14th and 15th. More info on Facebook and at downtownchico.com. All right, thank you, listeners. Thank you, underwriters. Anyway, just to do a quick introductions again, Asia Sharagra from the Enterprise Record. Welcome to KZFR.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And Jess Candela, who is the project coordinator for Youth Advisory Council, working under Butte County Office of Ed.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. So I'm just going to throw out a prompt question here, and we have our in-studio correspondent, Mark. He's actually going to ask some questions after this. So,
am I?
You are. You
I
are.
I had no idea.
you are. I'll give you a pen and a 3x5, man.
All right.
So tell us about this piece, Youth Council Inspiring Homeless Teens and Young Adults. Jess Candela, we'll start with you.
Sure. So Asia had written an article back in November on the Butte County Runaway and Homeless Youth Task Force, which is this consortium of local agencies that work with homeless youth and runaway youth. And she did this introductory piece on what that task force looks like. And then we decided to do a follow-up article now, about 6 months after the Youth Advisory Council had started, and kind of follow up on what we've been doing, how it's been going. It was great to get a second article on this council and task force.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Asia? How much fun was it putting this together? Because you covered, I liked about the article, there was a lot of breadth to it. You know, it moved really well, and there was a lot of content in there, but it didn't feel overwhelmed.
Oh, good. That's like one of my main jobs, and some days I struggle very hard with that. Yeah. So, thank you. I think, you know, for me, at least with this article, I could have just said, hey, there's a council now, and here's what's going on. And I hated starting it that way. So once I had a chance to read Haley, the interview that you had with Haley, and What's the technical name for this that you like?
Well, it's the Homeward Street Journal, but yeah. We have our own page called the Chico Vibe, just like the show.
Yeah.
And the Chico Vibe.
And so Jess had interviewed Haley, and she had shared some details about what she went through, and Haley and I had a chance to talk as well. And I thought, wow, she's a perfect example of, you know, obviously everybody's story is unique, but she's one person who I'm sure a lot of people have similarities in things they experienced. And I thought she would be focusing on her and then going into what this is about would be the best way to let people know how the council has already impacted people and made a difference. And I think it's just, for me, it was just so great getting to talk with Haley. I wish we'd had a chance to meet in person. And just to go down there, every time I go down to 6th Street, I really like getting to meet youth that are there. And, you know, it's always a pleasure working with people there. And it was nice to see Jess there. We found out that we knew each other. And I was like, I knew you looked familiar. And we both went to Chico State together at the same time. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Any follow-up on that, Jess Candela?
Sure. I think what Asia was talking about with Haley being one of our strong youth, that she's had so many very hard experiences in her life, and she's pushed through, and she's graduating from Chico State in the fall, and she's been a leader on our council, and so it was great to get her input on this article and her quotes. And then also sharing a new council member's quotes and thoughts was great as well. Darian had just joined the council that day, and his quotes are in this piece of what he wants to do with the council in the future. So it was great to get that kind of perspective from someone that's been with the council for a long time and someone that's brand new, as well as me and Josh, who are both facilitators and mentors of the council. So this really round, full scope of the council, what we do, who we are, and what we would like to do in the future as well. It was a really fun piece to do.
Well, for folks that haven't read the piece, what were some of the things you want to do in the future?
Sure. In August, we're going to be hosting our first open mic night.
Yeah, say that again.
August 1st from 6 to 7 p.m.
Awesome. Open mic. We love open mics.
Yeah, at 6th Street Center for Youth, we're hosting our first open mic night. A lot of our youth are so artistic, whether that be music, voice, poetry, rap, spoken word. They're so passionate about their stories and about sharing their stories.
There they are.
And so we're going to have an open mic night that the Butte County Youth Advisory Council is hosting in August, and we're super
open to the public.
Yeah.
I went to one, and I was like, I just wish more people, quote unquote, that were, you know, maybe city council members, if you're listening, because it's an amazing experience. It was just an amazing experience. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd love to add to the thing I thought was so great about the council, just learning about it, was all of the things that have already happened and all the opportunities that the youth have already had. And one of those was, again, you know, the youth leadership and policy event, the Taking Action Conference, where they lobbied state policymakers for funding for programs like that. I mean, how cool is that? I never did that, you know, and I didn't face half of the things that these young people have faced. And it's so cool that they get a chance to go and they have experience and they have a passion and they can have people listen to, you know, what they've been through. Mm-hmm. I just think it's great.
I can speak to that personally, since I've spent a lot of time at 6th Street, and I know the kids there. And I actually did attend one of the youth advisory councils. I haven't been keeping up with it, though, because I've been really busy. I feel a little bad about that. But I think it's incredibly important for a lot of these kids to have that kind of outlet for themselves, to express themselves. I know it was awesome being able to walk on stage and tell my story at Telebration, and I've done it twice. And there's a lot of talent at 6th Street that I don't think is, being used as it should be. There are some incredible artists down there, singers and poets and just writers. And I think it's a fantastic experience that you guys are giving them.
Thank you. I so appreciate that. Yeah. And we've done some other things like sending letters to city council members in Chico, collaborative artwork. We did a storytelling workshop, again, to kind of harness that talent and creativity in different avenues and try to get the youth voice out there in any way that we can in our community.
So speaking of that, you know, I've got the Chico Vibe. So we talked to Mark. He was about half of the page. And at the bottom, there's the latest edition of Writing for Donuts, and there's some brilliant poems in there. Just like Mark was saying, the artistic capability of these youth is amazing. But there's a whole article that was penned by Megan Malloy and Jess Candela. Megan is the program coordinator for School Ties, Butte County Office of Ed, but it's titled Back to School Event Will Provide Resources for Homeless Students. Maybe you can give us a thumbnail on that. Yes?
Sure. So it's based off of Project Homeless Connect, which we've had two very successful events here in Chico. And those are really geared toward single homeless adults. And so Megan and I really wanted to provide the opportunity for K through 12 homeless students, as well as students who are at risk to becoming homeless or in foster care or really impoverished, to have this one-stop shop event that they can go to get back to school ready. So books, backpacks, haircuts, immunizations, school supplies, new shoes, new clothes, everything will be right there for them and free. And then as well, we'll have service providers there for their parents and guardians to get services and parenting classes, behavioral health services, disability rights services, etc. So it really is this one-stop, community-based, collaborative event to make sure that our homeless students are being taken care of and feel ready to go back to school in the fall.
So that's School Ties Back to School. And that's going to be August 8th, 4 to 7 p.m., multi-purpose room at Chico Junior High School, 280 Memorial Way, Chico, California. Who is families needing resources for their K through 12 children to attend schools? Any wrap-ups before we move on to our closing piece with Brian Anthony about the open mic going on over at Hasbeans, the final open mic at Hasbeans?
There was one thing where I do believe I mentioned singing and poetry, but I didn't mention hand-drawn art, and wow,
yeah.
If you go to 6th Street, you could build a museum out of all the art that people just doodle on their spare time down there, and I think it's awesome that these kids will have an outlet for that sort of stuff, and that it'll be going to a good cause.
Excellent way to end this little segment. Thanks, everyone, for coming in.
Thank you.
And listeners, thank you for listening to the Chico Vibe. And what's nice is this is a long piece. This is Brian Anthony talking about the open mic, and he has like a 7-minute song, and I think we're going to get most of it if I quit talking. See you guys next week, and thanks for being a listener of People Power Radio. It's my real pleasure to have Brian Anthony, a.k.a. The Phoenix. I first heard you called that nickname by Dan Casamajor several years ago at the open mic. Welcome to KZFR, Brian.
Thanks, man. It's very, very nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's show some love. Judy Casamajor and Dan Casamajor, man. What would you say about your experience with the open mic over there at Hasbeens?
Man, it is such a special place. Mm. Such a special place. You know, I actually first went to that open mic when Susan was running it back in like 2006. And so it was the first place I actually broke out artistically with poetry. And then to circle back after I got back from Humboldt State and see Anne and Judy running it, I mean, they just hold such a good space. And it's really rare when you're a musician and you travel a little bit and you go to different open mics, you realize how rare the open mic is because it's such a sweet family. It's very non-judgmental. It's very not clicky. You get all these things with other open mics elsewhere, and you don't really get most of that, if any of it, at this one. It's just a sweet, sweet spot. Yeah.
And Dan was saying, whatever venue we get, we need a nice sidewalk area so people go out and practice.
Totally, yeah.
Which is kind of a nice vibe at the at Hasbeens, people out, practicing up and stuff.
Exactly, yeah. You walk up and you know that you're at an open mic because you see several people with guitars hanging out outside practicing their stuff. Yeah.
So you're going to grace the ears right now with a song, man, going out for Hasbeens open mic.
Absolutely.
Which is tonight. Tonight, folks, when you're listening to this radio program, it works out perfect because we close down at 7, which is pretty much about when they're going to start going down the list. So get on over to Hasbeens, downtown Chico. So what do we got?
Yeah, I'm going to play a song called Surrender. It's my newest jam. And I'd love to share it in dedication. Definitely sums up kind of the whole journey that I've gone through, And here it goes. We find new form. There's a space where we can be reborn. After letting death reclaim that which does not keep us warm. There's a time when demons demand attention, and though we are afraid from being held in detention, if we turn and stand face to face with that which we fear, we will find a place where the force of our shadow is no longer battled, it's honored for its truth. Where we hear from the depths the song that will carry us through. When our body is aching from taking and taking without ever asking why. When our mind is exhausted from trying to solve all the mysteries of this life. When our heart's broken open from trying to hold on to love like it's going to die. It's there when we're tender, sweet surrenders, where we just might find courage. There's a space between the void and mine, where all our thoughts dance free in and out of the fire's light. But if we try to chase them down and tie them to our hearts, we'll lose our gift, sight and sound. And the music we play becomes disarray in the fray of mental war. Oh, we must let go and let a resonance sing once more. When our body is aching from taking and taking without ever asking why. When our mind is exhausted from trying to solve all the mysteries of this life. When our heart's broken open from trying to hold on to love like it's going to die. It's there when we're tender and sweet surrenders where we just might find harmony. There comes new instructions to build again with light. Oh, the highest of forms will become the norm when we give up the fight. When our body is aching from taking and taking without ever asking why. When our mind is exhausted from trying to solve all the mysteries of this life. When our heart's broken open from trying to hold on to love like it's going to die. It's there when we're tender, a sweet surrender is where we just might find. When our heart's broken open,